Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Curriculum Lab. I am so glad that you're here. For those of you that don't know me yet, I'm Joanna Lindenbaum, and I'm just thrilled and proud and honored, really just so honored to be your guide for this transformational course. We're going to have a very powerful 4 weeks together. It's going to be intensive, but also very productive. I'm going to be giving you tools that I've developed over the last 20 years to be able to create really incredible curriculum by the end of our month. And you'll also walk away with a curriculum building system that you can repeat whenever you want to create new curriculum. So I just want to say hi to everybody. Hello to the people that I already know. There's so many familiar faces. There are a couple of people that have taken Curriculum Lab in the past and are back. I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to you also, and welcome to all of the new people. I'm so excited to get to know all of you. So if you're here, you already value going deep. I know that about you. If you're here, you value going deep. You know how important a masterful curriculum is and how vital a masterful curriculum is to creating a transformative experience with your clients, and also how vital it is to co-creating results with your clients. But curriculum isn't just about creating results with your clients. I mean, that would be more than enough. But what curriculum is, it's even more than that. Curriculum development helps you develop and deepen your unique thought leadership. It can help give you confidence in yourself and in what you teach. It gives you a basis and a foundation for leveraging your thought leadership in so many ways. And each and every one of you has your own thought leadership, whether you know it yet or not. But a good curriculum can help you leverage that thought leadership. From your curriculum, you can much more easily create marketing content, sales calls, better sales calls, program guides, sales pages, blog articles, social media content, books, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of like the added bonus with all of this. I always like to mention that. Now, I really see curriculum and facilitation skills as two separate skills that work together to create big transformation for your clients when it's done well. This is how I see it. It's like a good curriculum becomes the well-crafted instrument to create beautiful music on. And masterful facilitation is the musician that brings life, spirit, and energy to that incredible instrument. The instrument is only as good as the musician playing it, and vice versa. So in Curriculum Lab, what these 4 weeks are really about are about creating that highest quality instrument with all its beautiful and unique details so that you have something solid and superior to play on when you work with your clients. So I want to talk a little bit about what we'll be covering over our 4 weeks and the best ways to use the program. I'm going to spend a couple minutes on that, and then we will dive straight into a lot of learning today. So in my experience, 1 month is a really good amount of time. It's a great amount of time to create a curriculum. And when I say curriculum, I don't mean, you know, if the program you're putting together, for example, is a year long, you know, that meets every week, obviously in 4 weeks' time, we're not going to get to all of the nooks and crannies of a full 12-month curriculum with all of the exercise and everything. But in 4 weeks, it is more than possible to create a full retreat, Or if you are, or an 8-week program, or if you are working on a full year program, in these 4 weeks, you can create what that overarching curriculum is going to be, and then maybe start getting in the details of all the exercises on the first couple of classes. So we're going to be covering a lot, but you'll also have the time that you need. I'm an intuitive, but I'm also a very systematized person, and I'm going to be sharing with you the same method and processes that I've developed for myself, as well as for my private clients, as well as that I've been teaching to groups for a number of years step by step, so that you can create really amazing curriculum. So when I say intuitive and systematized, you'll see what I mean as we go along. But the systematized, I think, is really important when you create curriculum. The first two modules of the Curriculum Lab are designed to help you uncover, explore, and correctly lay out your content and your thought leadership points and philosophies. And then the second two modules in Curriculum Lab are about deepening those content pillars, the thought leadership, that you've laid out, sculpting them into powerful exercises, and really getting into the psyche and soul of your clients and how to work deeply there. So it's almost like we're going to write out the backbone of the curriculum first, and then go back in and flesh it out, make it meaty and juicy. So it's almost like Curriculum Lab is going to kind of get a little sexier and sexier each week, if you will. We first have to start a little basic, and then we'll start getting fancy and much deeper. The other thing to know is that we're not going to be putting your curriculum together in sequential order week by week. Instead, we're going to start at the core of your curriculum, and then we're going to work our way out to the ends almost. It'll make sense as we move through it. I'm going to be asking a lot of you, and I'm going to be stretching you at moments, but it's because I know that that's what you want. And so here's how you can really best use this program and get the most out of it. I know that some of you are here just to take in the content, but not necessarily to walk out of our 4 weeks with a curriculum. If this is you, that's awesome. The next 4 weeks will be a little less intensive for you. Drink in the content, take lots of notes, ask lots of questions on calls and on the Facebook group, and enjoy. But I suspect that the majority of the community here is here to walk out with a more concrete curriculum. If this is you, then I recommend a couple of things. Number one, as much as you can, come to calls live and ask a lot of questions on calls. Or if you're not able to make the calls live, listen to the recording and jot down the questions that you have and ask them in the Facebook group right away. Okay, just let me know. I'm here to answer questions. Second thing that I want to invite you to do, if you are really committed to finishing your curriculum over the next 4 weeks, is to put aside a good 2 to 3 hours a week outside of our class time and our get it done time for your homework assignments. You know your rhythm. You know how fast or slow you work. You may need a little less than 2 or 3 hours a week. You might need more. But generally, it's usually 2 to 3 hours outside of class time. I want you to think of these next 4 weeks as a container. And so what I mean by that is you'll have your dedicated time where you're coming to class, coming to our Get It Done sessions, or you know, the dedicated time that you put, you know, those extra hours that you put aside to work on your curriculum, to do the homework assignments. Yes to all of that. But in addition to that, think of the next 4 weeks as almost like curriculum is just going to be coming up for you because you've set the intention. So I know for myself, for example, I don't know if this is going to sound weird or not, but when I'm actively in a container for a curriculum over the course of a couple weeks, I'm creating a curriculum, ideas will come to me in the shower. I'll make time to take, you know, more walks, you know, around the block than I usually do, because I know that just creative things come in those moments. I always just keep a little notebook with me. I'm a paper and pen kind of person, and I just jot down ideas that come through. So don't just think of it as here's the class time, here's the homework time that you've put aside, but we're like, we're in this container for the next 4 weeks. Make sure that you've joined the Facebook group and use it. I see that a lot of us have already. That's great. I'll be in the Facebook group every Monday through Friday answering any questions that you have in between our sessions. I usually check in on the weekends, too. I kind of can't help myself sometimes. Post questions, post revelations, insights, and celebrations. It's great for everyone. And you'll get all of the content that you need for this program from our calls, but I will also probably be just sharing extra supplemental goodies and content in the Facebook group as well. I like to do that sometimes. I call Curriculum Lab a lab on purpose. The best way that it's going to work for you is for you to participate, for it to be interactive. The more you participate, then the more information I'll also gather to know what you need more of and what you need less of. This is really about meeting your needs as a group as specifically as I can. The other thing to know in order to really get what you want out of our time together is to have patience, to have patience. I wrote this to you all, but I want you to just hear it from my voice. Curriculum creation is a process. And often it's a cyclical process, not a linear one. So what that means is that the ideas that you start with at the beginning of the Curriculum Lab this week will likely shift, tweak, or change by the time that we're complete. In other words, your unique thought leadership may not make itself totally known right away. And if that's the case, that is totally normal and also more than okay. Because again, creating curriculum is a process. It requires patience and it requires persistence. There are some people that can just 1, 2, 3, download all their content all at once and it totally hits the mark. And that's awesome. For other people, it's like peeling an onion. You need to start with the outer layer and do a few rounds of edits before you get to the innermost aligned layer. So what that means also is, you know, and you'll see this as I actually teach you how to create curriculum, a curriculum is a little bit linear, right? So the way that I'm going to teach you this process will be a linear process, but you may go back. It's cyclical, right? So on week 3, you may dip back to today, you know, to week 1. You might want to go back and rework some of the things. That's totally normal. Whatever your process is, there's no wrong way to do it. So long as you show up and you do the work and you see it through, you'll get to where you want to go. All right. The other piece I want to just point out is the myth of perfection. This is something in the Sacred Depths coach training. I train coaches a whole module on how to work with myth of perfection. We're not going to get into all of that here, but I know that perfectionism can, and some of you have already written about this in the Facebook group. You haven't used the word perfectionism, but you know, sometimes it can stop us in our tracks. And I want to just tell you guys a brief story that I think will be helpful for you. So when I was in college, I took a drawing class, and I was drawing 101, and we were assigned to buy these big drawing pads that we were to bring to our first day of class. And we come to our first day of class with our charcoal and our big white drawing pads. And Mr. Ball, I'll never forget the name of the instructor, Mr. Ball, you know, I thought he was going to just start teaching us how to draw. But instead, this is what he did, and it was brilliant. He said, rip out one of your pieces of paper from your big drawing pad. And then he said, and then what I want you to do is put it on the floor and stomp all over it. We all did it. And then he said, and now I want you to pick up that piece of paper and crumple it up in your hands. And we all thought he was crazy, but we did it. And then he said, now flatten out that piece of paper. And in front of us, we had this, what was once this pristine white piece of paper. Now we had this crumpled up piece of paper with marks kind of all over it. It was not pristine anymore at all. And he said, great. Now you're ready to start drawing. And it didn't hit me at first when I was back in college what that was all about, but I got it afterwards. It's so intimidating to start drawing on a pristine canvas because we don't want to get it wrong. We don't want to mess it up. You know, we will only put down a mark to draw if we think it's going to be right, if we think it's going to be perfect. But when we do that, then we usually just don't really end up getting very far with the drawing, right? Be willing to be messy. Be willing to be imperfect. You know, whatever you need to do metaphorically for this not to be a pristine piece of paper, but one that you can make mistakes on and go back to, just so that you can jump in and do it and put down your ideas, even if it's not going to be the best idea, but it'll be something to work with and come back to. All right, just a few more things. Before we jump into our content, I wanted to share with you for a second about who I am as a teacher. And for those of you that know me, you already know all of this. I give a lot. I give with my full heart and soul. I will stay on calls as long as need be. I will get all of your questions answered. If you need more Q&A time, I will add in Q&A calls. And I'm also known to reach out to you personally if I happen to not see you around on calls or Facebook group, just to check in. In other words, like, I am here for you. I want you to reach out. I want you to be successful, okay? There's a lot of support for you here, way more than anyone would normally get in a 4-week group program. The more that you use the support in the program, the more you'll receive from it, and the quicker you'll move forward. All right. A lot, and then here's just the last piece. A lot of what I teach at first seem obvious, and especially today's call, a lot of what we're going to look at, you're going to be like, duh, I already knew that. Well, that's obvious. But just because it's obvious, some of it, and some of it won't be, but just because some of it is obvious doesn't mean that you shouldn't pay attention, right? If I share something and you already knew it, that's an invitation to open your ears up even more and see it with clean eyes and hear it with clean ears. If you haven't already done the pre-work on beliefs that I sent you, I recommend that you do it, especially if you're someone that tends to have a lot of fear about going into the process, or you stop yourself because of fears or beliefs that you have. So definitely, you know, if you haven't, go back and listen to that. But for now, I want you to just notice if you have any resistance around creating your curriculum, around the course, you know, showing up for the course, any of it. Just notice if you have any resistance. And if you do, that's awesome. And I mean that very sincerely. If you have some resistance, it's really because you're taking your work around curriculum and you're taking this experience very seriously. And it also, if there's resistance, it may mean that there's fear. But that's also a good thing, too. Resistance is a product of fear, and fear is oftentimes present when we're about to grow, when we're in a process of stretching. So it's all welcome, it's all normal, it's all good. And if you're not experiencing resistance, that's awesome too, by the way. It doesn't mean that you're not taking this seriously enough, I pinky promise. But if you do have resistance, don't hate on it. Instead, just radically accept it and even love on it. Know, again, that it's totally normal, and it doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form that you're not going to get exactly what you need from this experience. So long as you stay aware of when the resistance is showing up and just call yourself out on it or reach out in the Facebook group or on these calls. Okay. So take a moment, and I want you to just jot down an answer to this question. Why are you here? And what do you want by the time we're complete? By the time the lab is over, why are you here, and what do you want by the time we're done? Let's get really clear for yourself. Next question. What are the obstacles that could potentially get in your way of creating what you want here? What are the obstacles that could potentially get in your way of creating what you want here? So, for example, if you know you have a tendency to block out time to do homework and then you just bowl over it, that's an obstacle. Write that down. If you know you have a tendency to go into analysis paralysis and then you don't get anything done, that's an obstacle. Write that down. If you know that you have a tendency to procrastinate, that's a potential obstacle. Write that down. Let's just name the obstacle. If you know that you have a tendency to compare yourself to other people that you see on social media, and then that just stops you in your tracks, that's a potential obstacle in the process here. Write that down. Okay, so based on all of that, the why you're here, what you want, and what your obstacles are, I want you to identify for yourself an inner intention for these 4 weeks and an outer intention for these 4 weeks. So the outer intention is probably very similar to what you want by the time we're done, right? So just get really clear on that intention. And then the inner intention is, how do you want to be showing up for yourself during these 4 weeks? What's the energy that you want to bring, right? So if you had an inner intention, what is that? And then just take a moment for yourself and set those inner and outer intentions. Whatever is meaningful for you, you can put a hand on your heart and speak the inner and outer intention out loud, or sometimes I put a hand on my heart, I breathe it in. You can write it out on a separate piece of paper and, you know, make it look pretty. Take a moment, whatever you need, or maybe put your hand on the piece of paper that you just wrote it on and just really, you know, give it attention and energy for a moment. But really set those inner and outer intentions for yourself. Okay. So one of the biggest things that we're going to look at today and really get very deep into is the following principle that will allow you to not only create the structure and backbone of an effective curriculum, but also help you mine and get into the details of your unique thought leadership. And here's the principle, and I want you to write this down. Your curriculum should take your participants on a journey. Your curriculum should take your participants on a journey. One of the biggest mistakes I see is that leaders put together exercises and teaching pieces or activities that are all good activities, beautiful ones, but the different pieces just don't fit together. And if the pieces don't fit together, then it's not effective. The audience will get lost or confused or disinterested, or they won't completely feel the relevance or the importance of the material. For example, and some of you have heard me share this example before, let's say you're a business coach and you want to lead a workshop on how to bring on more clients. You may say to yourself, I want to do a teaching on how to create a really solid marketing funnel, and then I also happen to be a Reiki master, and I know that Reiki will help with all of this, so I'll do that next. And then from there, I'm going to teach this really cool new way of writing copy, and then I personally do this exercise around values and priorities that has made such a big difference in my life, and I want people to experience that also, so I'll put that in there at the end. So that's not going to work, right? There may absolutely be a way to utilize each of these exercises and each of these talents, and there probably is, but the way that you set up your curriculum, the underpinnings behind it all, is what's going to make the difference between a hodgepodge of interesting exercises and a highly effective and seamless experience of growth and new skills development that will also leave your audience feeling motivated and ready to take action. You want your curriculum to flow and to organically follow a path. So actually, before we even get there, I just want to backtrack for a moment. I oftentimes hear people say, you know, I have this problem. I need to have only one brilliance or, you know, do only one modality. And that's not true. If you're someone who's multi-talented, if you have lots of brilliances, lots of different techniques, lots of different modalities, you can integrate them all into a curriculum. You want to do it, though, with this idea of the journey. That's the real issue here, is finding the underlying journey and then organizing your modalities, your talents, the techniques to support the journey. So you want your curriculum to flow and to organically follow a path. And a good way to think about this is like a hero on a hero's journey. If you think of Greek mythology or any novel or play, the hero literally needs to go on a journey to receive all of the learning and transformation. She can't just go straight from point A to point B and receive everything that she needs to know. Your course participants are the hero, and your curriculum is the journey. The different exercises or topics that you share in your retreat or your workshop or your program literally become each of the steps on the journey for your participants to achieve the results that they want to achieve. Now, I'm a visual person, so another way that you can think of this is think about a map and think about taking a road trip. So let's say you want to take a trip from New York City to Los Angeles, right? You want to follow an organic journey. You won't want to go all over the map, right, to get from New York to Los Angeles. You're probably never going to make it to LA if you go all over the map. You want there to be a journey. in the example that I gave a little while ago, the Reiki may absolutely be able to fit into that road trip, right? It just needs to connect to the step before it and to the step after it and to have a purpose on the journey. It shouldn't be a diversion on the road. And that's a big mistake that happens, is that people get into lots of diversions on the road. Now, there are six main components to the overarching journey that you want to include in your curriculum. There are six main components. I'm going to quickly share those six components now. And then over today's training and next week's training, we're going to go deep into each one of the components. So here are the six components. Number one, on any curriculum journey, the first thing you want to do is help your client remember why she's taking the journey. And I know that might sound silly, right? Well, of course she knows why she's taking this journey. She paid for it. She signed up for it. She's here. But the truth is that even when people buy something, even when they sign up, even when they show up, they forget by the time they start, they forget. Or maybe they weren't fully understood why they showed up in the first place. You always want, at the beginning of every curriculum, to help client understand why she's taking the journey. If she is clear on why she's there, she's going to stay more activated. She's going to stay more engaged. She's going to be invested. Second thing you want to do in your curriculum journey is help your hero locate where they are as they start their journey. You want to help them understand where they are on their journey. So back to the map and the road trip, it's really hard to get to Los Angeles if you don't know if you're starting in Pittsburgh or New York or Cleveland, right? And the road is going to be different. So when you put your curriculum together, you need to know a little bit about where they're starting, but they need to understand where they're starting too, so they can understand the work that's ahead of them. The third thing that you want to do in your curriculum journey is bring awareness and begin to honor and work through the resistance before you give solutions. And again, I'm just going through each of these quickly. We're going to look at each one in detail, I promise. But I just wanted to give you kind of the full thing first. So bring awareness and begin to honor and work through the gap and the resistance before you give solutions. Before you give any of your solutions, you want to address resistance. Like I said earlier, there's always resistance when we step into something bigger for ourselves. If you address resistance at the outset of your curriculum, your people are going to be more willing to move forward into the curriculum. Step four, the fourth component of the journey, finally, that's when you give the solution steps or the methodology. This is your thought leadership, step four. This step in and of itself is like a mini journey within this overarching six-component journey. It's where your thought leadership lies, and that's where we're going to be going into detail today. So we'll come back to step four, but I want to just let you know the fifth and sixth components here. After you've given the solution or the steps or the methodology, then the next component of the overarching journey is integration. You want to help people, even though they've learned it, you want to help them get clear on what they've just learned and what their takeaways are. Once people learn something, in order for them to fully shift and transform, they need to become aware that they learned it. And then finally, step number 6, you want to seal all the whole journey in. You want to seal all of the learning in. Okay. So, and incidentally, those 6 steps that I just gave you, not only is that the overarching journey for any full curriculum, but that 6-step process is the same exact format for any class within a curriculum or any day within a retreat. So if you pay close attention even to our class today, it's our 90-minute class, you'll see I'll be taking you through each of those 6 steps. And then you'll see it in the overarching 4 weeks as well. I'm going to open up, by the way, for Q&A in a little bit. I want to get through the next piece, and then I'm sure there'll be lots of questions. So for the rest of our call today, we're going to be focusing on step 4 of the 6 components that I just shared. Your solution, your methodology. And then your homework for this week is going to be to start creating your methodology. This is the heart of your thought leadership. Some people on the call already know their methods. They already know the step-by-step wisdom that they want to teach in their curriculum, in their content. And then other people will be exploring it for the first time this week. Both are beautiful and very productive places to be. Even if you already have your method, don't tune out here. Approach this week with a beginner's mind and with openness. This is going to be an opportunity to make the way that you share and teach your methodology that you already know even richer, even more layered, even more powerful, and even more coming out of your own unique thought leadership. It's an opportunity to get creative again and find the juicy wisdom lying underneath the wisdom and to mine the new knowledge that you're ready to bring to the table. So, as I said earlier, a lot of what I'm sharing today is obvious, and what we're going to look at next is probably going to seem very obvious at first. And in a lot of ways it is, but there's a lot of richness to it if you allow yourself to go deeper and look at the details, which I'm going to lay out for you. So the first thing you want to know is where your hero is starting and where your hero is ending, right? And we looked at that a little bit. You had that for homework. We're going to go get a little bit more into the crags right now. And again, if you don't know exactly where they're starting and where they're ending, just take your best guess for now. Remember, this is a process. It will shift as you develop your curriculum. That's totally okay. So for every single retreat, program, class, any curriculum that I ever plan, every single one, I always write down where is my hero starting when they step into this retreat, when they step into this program, whatever it is, and then where do I want to get them to by the time that they're done. You want to be able to see the start and end points of the journey or of that road trip in your mind and write it down. Now, before we even get into a little bit more of the crags of the start and end points, the other thing that you need to know is what kind of vehicle your hero is going to be taking the journey or the road trip on. Is it a car? Is it a truck? Is it a boat? Right? You know, the pathway that you pick from New York to LA is going to be different if you're traveling by car versus by motorcycle versus by air versus by boat versus by walking, right? So your vehicle here is the format of your program. Is it a retreat? Is it a virtual course? Is it an in-person workshop? Is it one-on-one work? It's important, obviously, to be clear on this at the outset because each vehicle has its strengths and its limitations. And its strengths and limitations will help you as the creator of the curriculum understand how long or detailed of a journey you can take your hero on. So, for example, if your vehicle is a 3-day retreat, the scope of the journey is going to be very different than a 90-minute workshop. Or, for example, the strength of an in-person retreat is how deep you can go. When you're in person over 2 or 3 days, you can do richly experiential exercises. There's a lot of deep community connection. But there's also limitation to a retreat. The limitation is that it's a one-shot deal, you know, if it's just a standalone retreat. So there's no homework in between sessions, you know, as opposed to if you had a 6-session course. The way the information is processed is going to be different than the course. So you want to know what your vehicle is. And remember, this is cyclical, so you may come back and shift this a little bit once you get more into the details of your curriculum. That's okay, but you want to have a sense for now. And the other piece that's important here is how many heroes are going to be riding in that vehicle? How many participants, approximately, are you creating this vehicle for? Is it one-on-one? Is it for 6 people? Is it for 600 people? Because this, too, is going to inform your curriculum. And this has, you know, how many people, whatever the amount, has its strengths and has its limitations. If it's a smaller group, there's going to be more sharing opportunities that you're going to work into your curriculum, right? So some of this also dovetails into program design, which we won't get into too much here in Curriculum Lab, but, you know, I'm just pointing out a couple of different pieces of it here. So, for example, if you know that your ideal client needs a lot of hand-holding, but you're preparing an online course with 40 people in it, how can you design the vehicle to accommodate the handholding? Does it need extra Q&A calls? Does it need a Facebook group? An example is here in Curriculum Lab, our Get It Done sessions, right? Because I know that there are a lot of people in this program. You know, I'm answering all the Q&A that I can, but probably there's some more hand-holding that wants to get done. And also what I know about my ideal client is they need some time put where they can be accountable, put aside to do the work, right? Too many practitioners just throw in trendy format items into their programming without purpose, and you don't want to do that. You think you're adding more, but then it just becomes too overwhelming for your ideal client. So what's the vehicle, what's the format of the program, and then how many people? This was a pre-homework assignment, so hopefully you've worked through this one. Okay, next, as I said, you want to know where your hero is starting, right? And you guys have done a really, those of you that have shared in the Facebook group, you're doing a great job with it. Now, for homework, I asked you about where is your ideal client starting, just, you know, completely. For a curriculum, you may not be starting at the very, very beginning of where your ideal client is starting, and you may not be ending at the very, very end of where your ideal client is ending. In other words, there's no curriculum that's ever going to capture your ideal client's full journey, because a curriculum is 8 weeks long, or 5 day long retreat, or a year long, you know, whatever it is. So you want to know within that bigger, bigger journey, what is the journey of the actual curriculum? So, you know, again, we can use this program as an example. Most of the people that are in this program want to create incredible programs of their own and lead incredible programming of their own, and you get great client results and all of that. In 4 weeks, I can't teach you all of that, because part of that is teaching you facilitation skills. But what I can do in 4 weeks is teach you the first leg of that journey, which is how to create a really good curriculum. So a big mistake that I oftentimes see people make with curriculum is the scope is usually too big. Rarely ever do people make the scope too small of the curriculum. It's usually too big. So you wanna check that as we look at where your hero is starting and where your hero is ending. So for the scope of your program, your workshop, your retreat, your circle, where is your hero starting? What are her main obstacles? What are her main complaints when she's starting out? What is it that she already knows? What is it that she currently believes in when she's starting? What has she already been through? Getting clear on all of that will help you design that journey, will help you know the roadmap from New York to Los Angeles. And then the next question you want to ask is, where do you want your hero to get by the end of the experience? What results do you want the hero to have? What will your hero know and understand by the time they're complete? Again, not their full journey, but the scope, right, of the particular curriculum. What will your hero believe by the time they're done? What will their perspective be? What will they have accomplished? So, hopefully, as you look at your starting and ending points, you're beginning to see that the beginning and end of the journey, and that it's not a broad journey, but instead it's a highly specialized one. So, for example, you don't want the journey to be a general, broad journey of how to get healthy, right? But when we get clear on where is the start point and where is the end point, then we maybe instead of how to get healthy, it becomes how busy moms can have more energy and sex drive. Or it's not the broad journey of how to alleviate back pain. But if you get really clear on what's that start point and what's that end point, it might become how athletes can avoid injuries and maintain back health. You want your curriculum to be specific in this way, as opposed to that broader journey, how to alleviate back pain, right, versus, again, how athletes can avoid injuries and maintain back health. You want it to be more specific, because that's where your thought leadership is going to come through. That's where you're going to be able to distinguish yourself, to separate yourself from the pack and all of the noise out there and all of the thousands of programming that sounds alike, but oftentimes doesn't actually get clients to where they need to go because it's not targeted enough and it's not specific enough. So based on the work that you've done already, if you have already started looking at the beginning point and the end point, what are you beginning to see is this specialized journey that you're taking your clients on through this whatever particular curriculum you're working on? So I'll just give another example here, again, of this program. Curriculum Lab isn't just broad, you know, how to create curriculum. It's about creating effective and transformative curriculum and exercises for leaders who desire to go deep in their work, for leaders who care about results, and for leaders who have something out of the box to say. If you're hearing me say that right now, you're probably resonating and say, oh, yeah, that's me, right? So, again, we're not going on, we don't want to take people on a broad journey. We want that more specific journey that will help you get, it's not only great for your marketing, by the way, but it will help you get that much more precise, that much more deep, and that much more effective in your thought leadership and in your curriculum. So once you have the starting point and once you have the ending point of your hero, then the next step that you want to take in your curriculum is to lay out what are the steps along the way. What is the step-by-step-by-step-by-step journey that this hero is going to take to get from where they are now to where they want to get to where they want to be. And again, this is where you get to distinguish yourself from everybody else out there. There are going to be other thought leaders out there that also have programming that are very similar to your start point and your end point. But there are numerous pathways and routes to get from one starting point to one ending point. So you want to lay out what your unique path is. Now, if you have, I just want to say, you know, make a note at this point in the game, because this is where we start getting into it. If you're hearing me talk right now and any fears are coming up around, you know, you're not a thought leader, or, you know, you don't have enough experience, or you don't know, like all of that stuff, again, I just want to remind you about resistance. This is the place where it's probably going to start coming up. So just be aware and go back to the pre-work around the obstacles. And remember that just because you've got resistance, it doesn't mean that you won't do what you want to do or that you can't do what you want to do. So as you do the work this week of laying out step by step by step by step, it's almost like, you know, on that road trip, Where are you stopping on the road trip, right? Where are the different places on the road trip that you're taking a break and making stops? As you lay it out this week, it might come out perfectly on the first try. It might, but likely it's not going to. And I'll just share with you, I've never, ever, ever done a one-draft curriculum. I mean, you know, right? And I teach this. I've never done a one-draft curriculum. I always do two or three drafts. And when I first started out, there were sometimes more. So, again, don't put a ton of pressure on this to be perfect this first week. You'll get stuck that way. So let me give you some tips for how to lay out the step by step of your thought leadership and your methodology. Because a lot of times people will say that I don't know how. Well, here's ways to figure it out. So number one, how have you solved this problem for yourself? If you're teaching on this, likely you've been in a version of the start journey and the end journey. I want you to write out the steps that you've had to go through, the step by step by step, to get to the other side. If you are working with this, if you've been working on this a lot with your one-on-one clients and now you want to make it into a program, what are the steps that you tend to take your clients through in your sessions? What are the topics that you tend to look at, you know, like the mini topics, right, in those sessions? Those are gonna be the steps. They may not come out in perfect order as you write them down. Likely they won't. But just write down each of the steps. So another thing that I like to do that always helps is I put myself and clients that I've worked with in the situation. I put myself in the situation, and I almost visualize myself taking the journey. So, for example, there's one retreat that I sometimes lead for entrepreneurs, and it's all about how to become more responsive in your business as opposed to reactive in your business, right? A lot of people, you know, they try to market something and it doesn't work and they become reactive and they go into a vortex or something happens with a client and they get upset. You know, they're constantly reacting. It causes a lot of stress and anxiety. It's not good for your health. And then you also don't accomplish. You're not working at your best. So I have a retreat that's all about learning how to respond versus react in your business. When I put that retreat together, I literally put myself on the journey. So first, I wrote out all the places where someone starts when they're totally reactive, you know, all the starting point places, and then where I want to get them to, a place of peace, a place of being able to respond from their highest self, to be in their body, all of that. But then I put myself in the situation, and I asked myself, where are the places that I react? When I, you know, for my clients, where are they reactive instead of responsive? What are the circumstances that allow me to respond to my business instead of allow me to react to my business? What are the understandings that I have that I draw on when I'm in a potentially reactive situation to move it into responsiveness? What are the tools that I use? Right? So putting yourself in the journey and asking yourself, what would I do if I was at this point A and I wanted to get to this point B? That will help you identify steps. Another tip that will help you really identify your steps is to slow it down. So what I mean by slowing it down is this. Whatever you're going to teach on, whether you believe it or not, you're an expert in it, I promise you. And when you're an expert in something, and oftentimes the reason why we don't realize we're experts in it is because of this, when you're an expert in something, you know it so well, you understand it so deeply that it moves really quickly in your mind. You just do it. You don't even maybe at this point think that much about it. It's just quick. But for your hero, for the participants that are moving through your curriculum, they don't know any of it yet. You need to slow it down, and you need to really connect the dots of the journey. One big mistake that people that create curriculum make is that they don't connect the dots. They move through it too quickly. It's perfect pace for them, but they're a genius at it. They're already an expert at it. So you want to identify the details. You want to articulate the connective tissue so that it's not disjointed and then your hero misses out on transformation. So even if you learned some of your methodology from somewhere else, when you go into your own experience and slow it down and get into the connective tissue and connect the dots from your own journey, from your own understanding of human nature, that's where you're going to find your leadership. That's where your own uniqueness comes to play. It's in the connecting of the dots. It's in the slowing it down. That's when your wisdom comes through. So I'll just give you an example of this. Let's say you're going to teach a course or help a client to set aligned boundaries. What slowing down and connecting the dots might look like would be, it's not just, okay, let's set the boundary, right? That's too quick. You may know, because you're really good at setting boundaries at this point, you may know how to just like, okay, blah, 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 and now I'm going to set the boundary. But if you're going to really slow it down and connect the dots, step one, you're going to help your client get clarity maybe on where they're feeling constrained, or even that they're feeling constrained. They may not even have that awareness yet. And then maybe step two is you're going to help them get clear on what would feel better to them. What would a non-constrained situation look like? And then maybe step three is you're going to explore the fears that come up when they think about setting the boundary with another person, and you're going to help them release any fears that they may have around the other person's anger or annoyance, right, if they're going to set the boundary. And then maybe step four for your ideal client, what they need next is to activate inside of them a sense that they deserve to have this boundary for themselves. And you work on the deserving for a bit. And then finally, you might get to a step of getting clarity on how to set the boundary. So they may not even be able to figure out how to set the boundary if they haven't been through these other steps. And then to actually setting the boundary, right? So you wanna slow it down. You don't want to just say, like, okay, what's the boundary, and now go set it. That's not where the thought leadership is. That's not where the transformation for your client is going to be, or the effectiveness towards the result. I'll share a couple more things, and then we'll open up for Q&A. So just a couple of other tips and tools on how to really mine that thought leadership that we've been talking about and really get the steps. So as you're laying out your steps, some of the overall questions you want to be asking yourself are, what are the actions required to get to the solution, right? What actions need to be taken to get to that destination place in the curriculum that you've outlined? What are the new beliefs that my hero needs in order to get to the end point? What are some new awarenesses that I want to introduce to my client so that they can get to that end point? What are the fears and the blocks that need to be addressed so that they can get to that solution, right? That's where, in that example I just gave you, I spoke about the releasing the fear and activating the sense of deserving. What are the energies that my hero is going to be required to have so that they can get to the end point, We're going to get into the energy part when we get to exercises in the last 2 weeks of curriculum lab. We'll get, you know, a lot more into it. But I want you to start be thinking about all these pieces. This is what's going to help you be able to slow it down and connect the dots. For each step that you identify, you want to ask the following questions, and there's, you're going to have a handout with all of these questions, by the way. Am I on my edge here? Is this, you know, if what you're teaching, if the steps that you lay out are stale for you, it's going to be stale for whoever you're teaching it to or working through it with. Is it exciting for me? Does it feel fresh? Does it feel stretchy? For each step, so what you're going to do is you're going to, like, lay out all the steps, and then you're going to want to start to put them into order, A to B to C to D. For each step, you're going to ask, does this step easily connect to the step before? Or do I need to slow this down even more? Is there a step in between there? Is this on the road to the end destination, or is this out of the way? Is this a scenic view? You know, scenic views aren't bad, right? Like, sometimes we want to go on the scenic view, but sometimes you may have to change your vehicle if you go on the scenic view. You need to make it longer, right? Are there steps within the step? I want to ask that. Is the step too challenging, or is it too basic for my ideal client? What can I tweak to correct that? So as I said, once you get through all of the steps, then you'll organize them, and you want to see, do they connect like a journey? You want to ask, is each of these steps vital and necessary? Sometimes I'll do this, I'll put all the steps together, and I realize, you know, I don't really need all of them. It's gotten a little bit too detailed, maybe, or two of them can be combined into one, or I don't have time, actually, for all these steps, and I don't want to make the thing longer, so which are the ones that I can, you know, that are okay, I can take out, I can save them for something else. You want to see if there are any steps or details missing. The other question you want to ask once you've gotten all of the steps together is, have you included details in each step? This is if you're working with a group, that will help adapt to different levels. So in other words, even though you've got your starting point for your hero and your ending point for your hero, if you have a group program, not every hero is going to be starting in the exact same place. So you need to take that into consideration when you put your curriculum together. So you guys may have noticed I've already done that a number of times so far in Curriculum Lab. One of the reasons why I gave the pre-homework, what's the vehicle, where is your ideal client starting, where is your ideal client ending, there's some people that are in Curriculum Lab that they know who their ideal client is. They, you know, they can tell you, you just wake them up in the middle of the night, they know it. They didn't necessarily need to do that work. But there are other people in this program that did. I wanted everybody to start to have a sense of who their ideal client was by the time we got to our first call today. So that's one example. You can always give pre-homework if, you know, there's gonna, different people are gonna be starting in different ways. Couple of other pieces I want to share. So I've already spoken about this a little bit, but I just want to mention again, I'm laying this out in a linear way. What's your vehicle? Step number one. Number two, where is your hero starting? Where is your hero ending? What are the step by step by step by step, right? I'm laying it out in a linear way for you, But most of us, our minds work in a combo of linear and cyclical. So oftentimes when I, before I even get to the point of writing down a start point and an end point, I've just had a vision of one exercise that I know I want to do, right? And then I start to build the beginning point and the end point of the curriculum, around that juicy exercise, right? If that's your process, that's great, right? You can rearrange this as you need to. The other piece I want to mention, because it comes up every time I teach curriculum, is that there are sometimes people that say, you know, this is so structured. What you're teaching is structure, and what you're asking to create something, you know, when I get to that retreat, I'm going to have such a structured curriculum, and I'm not a structured person. I'm organic. I'm spur of the moment. I don't operate that way. And so if you're listening to this and that's what you're thinking, that's good. Just so you know, it's true, I am Virgo and I am very structured, but I'm also very spur of the moment. Me asking you to lay this out in such a structured way is not there for you to feel strangled or for you to feel like there isn't spaciousness in your program or for you to feel like there isn't room for impulse or going with the flow or any of that. In fact, the way that I work and those of you that have been in retreat with me know that it's so spacious and there's so much that happens just in the moment that wasn't on the curriculum. The way that I see it is that creating a structure actually helps create more spaciousness. When there is a structure, you have a groundedness that allows you then to create, to sink in and lean in to the spaciousness. Okay. So let's pause here for a moment. And I know I spoke a lot. What questions do you have for me? Star two. What questions do you need answered? Let me tell you your homework for this week so that you know what I want you to do. Oh, wait, there's a question. Hold on. Shamet, is that the right way to pronounce your name?
Yes, it is. Shamet. Can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
Oh, good. Hi. It might be a little bit off topic, but when you're in a workshop and you've got your structure and you've got your plan, and half of the class or maybe even more of the class is actually following you, but then you've got a couple rebels in the room that try to throw it off course, do you have any tools or strategies to help steer the kind of rebellious ones,
Yeah. So, it's such a great question. So, I'm going to take it back a step first.
Okay.
To what some other things you can do beforehand. So, you want to take into consideration, because there are, no matter how well you market and how much you try, like, not everyone is going to be in that, like I said earlier, in that same exact place. So, things like pre-homework, and then things like, sometimes you might decide, I'm going to start a step a little bit more basic on this journey so that I can catch everyone in. So you may decide that your first step that you teach is almost like a pre-step so that people can get caught up. And if you do that, it still holds a lot of value for the people that have, you know, already moved through that step before they've gotten to your course. I always think of it like the Montessori method, which is the kids are learning the same thing for 3 years in a row. They actually have the same they call them works in the classroom that a six-year-old is going to use, a seven-year-old is going to use, and an eight-year-old is going to use. But every year, when the student uses the work, they get to a deeper level of it, and they get to a deeper level of it. So you can always try to preempt and pre-frame, first of all. You know, you always want to do that as much as possible. But then from there, as you move along, there may be people that, you know, are in different places. So there are a couple things that you can do for that. Number one, make sure that you build in time for Q&A and discussion as you move through your steps so that you can work and answer questions with people that need a little bit extra hand-holding. Or if it's like an online course, you can have extra Q&A time or office hours so that you can help those folks. If it's a situation where it's really so out in left field and they're really not, you know, anywhere near where the curriculum is, then it's a mismatch for the program. Is that answering your question?
Yeah. What do you do when you have a mismatch in the program?
So if you're really describing your ideal client well in your marketing, it will cut the chances of having a mismatch. That's number one. But sometimes people will sneak through. It can happen to the best of us. And if it is, I mean, for me, it's just all about, you know, integrity and honesty. And if I see that I have someone in a program that is either far behind or far ahead of everyone else, I will let them know. And if I have another program I can put them in, I'll do that, or I'll move them to privates, or I'll refer them out. But it will not be good for the person if they stay in, and it will not be good for the group because, like you said, they're going to pull either too far forward or too far behind, and it's not going to be good for you as a facilitator because you're going to be so stressed out about it.
Yeah, I just ran my first international retreat and, you know, had all these lovely A students that wanted to do all the work, and then I had a few that just wanted to sit by the pool. So I kept saying, you're more than welcome not to come to the workshops and sit by the pool, but they just kept coming. So it was a really challenging on many
different levels. A little bit of that goes back to marketing, right? If you're the kind of person, you know, and you may actually explicitly say in the marketing, if you're the kind of person who prefers to sit by the pool, this isn't for you.
That's what I was thinking. So
it's not rude. It's helpful and it's honest, right? So that's number one. But number two, you'll see when we get next week to the, you know, because we're going to backtrack to those six components of the journey that I spoke about earlier. Some of the pool might be about resistance. You want to address resistance too. So we'll get there next week. Okay.
Thank you.
Right, awesome.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm happy you're here. Let's see. Who is this? Your last numbers are 1762.
Hi, this is Esther.
Hi, Esther.
Hi. I hope the background noise is not too bad. I'm on vacation and escaped to a coffee shop. So I have a question in terms of methodology. I'm new to creating deeper curriculum. It's something that I kind of slid into, and I teach as part of an interior design certification program. And what I did last year is propose my own class about the relevance of the five senses in design and architecture. And I taught it on whim and instinct and did things like brought in meditation, brought in guided meditation, walking meditation, journaling, because when you talk about the five senses, it has to be experienced.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just talk about the physiology of how they work.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that my wish for the class and intention for the class was that designers learn, because a lot of it is elusive, design can be very elusive, that they learn to trust their own instincts, that they are right, to listen to their gut feeling and give them some background information why their bodies react
yeah.
to certain things that they do. And it was incredibly successful. But in terms of what is my methodology, I'm not sure. Is my methodology to incorporate these different exercises?
Yeah. Well, I think each of the pieces, right, each of those senses may be a different step, possibly. You know, I'd play with it. But, yeah, I'm hearing that you've got it there. So it sounds like those senses. You know, and look at each of the exercises that you did and ask yourself, what was the point behind this exercise? If this exercise was a step, what was that step? It will actually help you make the exercises even more effective because you'll be like have that clarity on what the point was behind each one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it sounds like a great course.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
You're welcome. There are a lot of hands raised, and I want to get to everyone, but I want to make sure I give the homework first in case people need to hop off at 4 Eastern, and then I'll get to all the hands raised. So the homework is to create your methodology, right? So the step-by-step, that's step number 4 of the 6 components, to create your methodology. And we'll be meeting next Tuesday. Again, you need more time than just the 90 minutes. We'll be meeting for next Tuesday, but I want to remind you that we've got to get it done session. We'll be meeting on this line next Tuesday at 11 Eastern, so we'll be doing that there. I want to get to some more questions. I also, if you have takeaways, and everybody please write down what's one takeaway from this call or more than one. What did you really learn for yourself? What did you really see for yourself that's important for you? Take your questions. I want to hear your takeaways if you want to share. Post in the Facebook group as you move along. Like I said, you know, be interactive. And we're going to also get a lot done in that Get It Done session. And these questions are great. So, I think they're so helpful for everyone. So let's continue on with them. Chrissy.
Hey, Joanna. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. So you've addressed this a little bit in today's call, but this is more like an inner piece where I really struggle with creating that slowness, like slowing down and really expanding on things.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, like, because I know a lot about the subject matter, and I personally learn from, like, getting a ton of information and then distilling the threads. But I just really struggle with simplifying things, and I feel like I'm not giving enough value when I do that. And I know we've talked about this, but is there anything else that you can, because I know see it taking up so much of my time and not really being super
effective. You can be simple and have depth at the same time. It's actually more surface when it's quick, or a lot of information, but not slowed down and simplified. The gold and the value is actually in the slowed down, simplified depth. So that's one piece, kind of like on that inner belief level. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, and I think I get it intellectually, but as I'm creating, I'm like, oh, but I have to have this piece and I have to have this piece. And I'm hoping the curriculum lab will help me, like, make sure I get all of that captured, you know?
Yeah. So what I recommend for now is don't leave anything out. Like, don't, if that's going to stop you, don't leave anything out. Put it all in. And then, like I said, this is an editing process. It really is, and appealing the layers and all of it. Put it all in for now, and then you'll take a break from it for a day or two after you put it all in, and then you'll look at it, or we can look at it together and say, okay, this piece actually isn't necessary. These pieces are actually redundant. They're pretty much the same. They can be combined into one. This is a great piece, but it's actually on another journey. It's not, it's like that's really scenic route, and that can be put into when I do another program. It's not really helping the client get to, you know, so what I'd say is for now, if it stops you, don't hold back. Get it all on the paper, like that messy piece of paper I was talking about at the beginning, you know, of our call today, and then you can edit out from there. Would that be helpful?
Yeah, and as you're saying, I think I'm having a bigger realization that I just have this voice in my head that people are going to say, like, I'm not getting enough, or, like, I'm not, like, this, I already know this. And, and I think, like, pre-framing all that and just being really open, like, as I go through it, like, you might say this, and just covering it will, like, help
I did that on our call today. I said, like, some of this is going to seem really obvious.
Right.
To you, right? So, and we'll talk more about that pre-framing next week. But yeah, sometimes we need to do that. That's important.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. Let's see who's next here. Lyria.
Hi, Joanna. Nice to meet you. I'm Lyria.
Tell me, say your name one more time so I can hear it.
Lyria.
Lyria, okay.
Bye.
Hi.
I am creating, my question has to do with when the marketing is broad, because I'm creating something called Reimagining America, and it's, and the marketing is broad. I mean, it's podcast interviews and media appearances and things like that about engaging our imaginations to go someplace new. And so my question is, is there a way to address, I mean, I thought I wanted to cast a big net, but then the question becomes how to create a transformational experience for a lot of different kinds of people if the point is for a large group to self-select in.
Yeah, so yes, it's a large group of people. But tell me if you've done this already. What I feel like maybe you need to do next is get clear on their similarities.
Oh, you know what? That's a really, in a general sense I have, but I haven't done it like I would if I was hosting a group of 8 women in my home.
Exactly.
I haven't done it
exactly.
In that way at all. Okay.
Exactly. So it's a diverse group, but when you cast a wide net, obviously there's tons of different types of people. We don't have to focus on their differences. We don't want to focus on their differences. It will drive us cuckoo.
Right.
What we want to focus on is what unites them. What do they have in common, both on the inner and the outer levels? What are the desires that they have in common? What are the fears that they have in common? What are the visions that they have in common? What are the beliefs or limiting beliefs that they have in common, right? When you get clear on those, then you'll see, it will make so much more sense.
You know what? That is so helpful. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Great question. Okay, let's see. I don't know who this next person is. I'm taking you off mute, and your last numbers are 7060.
Hi, Joanna. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, this is Milan. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you? It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm calling you from France, so it's 10 o'clock here now. That's why you probably didn't recognize the number. Great to be with you again. So here's what my dilemma is. I wrote the curriculum for stock market investment program for women. Mm-hmm. And I edited 2 times already, and I still, after talking to my clients, I still feel that they will freak out. I'm so concerned about making them overwhelmed, feel overwhelmed. So the first thing that I learned, you asked about takeaways. The first module that I have in this curriculum is about stock market investing lingo, where basically I explain main terms that I use later on in the training.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that first I can do this module one as pre-training module that I could offer and have them have some kind of pre-training homework, right? So that would, because I'm trying to level the field, but I might have women with different levels of experience.
Yeah.
But my challenge is how can I make it more feminine? How can I make it more balanced in terms of masculine and feminine energy, and it would not feel so so dry and so technical? Because I believe I have to teach them how to do different kinds of analysis, technical analysis, fundamental analysis,
yeah.
How to read the
chart.
Yeah,
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, where my mind goes to is, what's one fear that pretty much across the board these women that come to you have?
Well, they told me that they feel stupid when it comes to investing. They not good with numbers.
Yes. Good. Okay. So, you could add a module that's about that. Overcome your fear of not knowing enough, feeling like this is a man's arena, or not being good with numbers. And have that not be technical at all, but just purely inner work or inner exploration. Or you could add in maybe a step, a module, about what happens to the world when women are financially empowered. How do some things like that land for you?
It's interesting. And do you think this module should be the first module? It should be pre-curriculum module, or it should be part of the curriculum, but the first module, how? Where do I insert this?
I don't know, because I don't know your whole curriculum. You know, you can, work this week. I want you to go back to your curriculum based on what I taught this week and then some of these little ideas that I'm giving you. And then if you want, share it in the Facebook group. And I can't with everybody look extensively over all the pieces of your curriculum, but I can make a suggestion here or there. But my sense is I wouldn't leave it to the end, and I wouldn't do it as pre-work. You want the course itself to be more feminine, so put some of these things into the course. You don't want to wait. At least on the fear one, you probably don't want to wait towards the end, because they need to overcome that probably towards the beginning, if they're going to be able to even do the work. And then I heard you say the word overwhelm, and you were talking about one whole class that's just definitions. I mean, what I was thinking was I might get bored of a whole class of just definitions. Especially if it was pre-work and it wasn't even live, you may want to divide that into 2 classes and have the first set of definitions with a lesson, and then later on in the course, the second set of definitions with a lesson or something. Again, I don't know your exact curriculum, so I don't know. But I think those are some ways that you could break up some of the masculine. Is that helpful to noodle on?
I'm trying to process what you just suggested. So you're saying that the module one, that basically I have just the terms that would be used later on, to break it up into 2,
and
possibly. I would ask your, you know, ask your clients if they are okay with a full class of just definitions, or if they tune out.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them. Or that first class can be, you know, looking at the fear and then half of the definitions. You know, maybe something like that.
I see. So mix a little bit. And so you do you suggest, basically my question was, how do I make every technical module a little bit more soft and more...
So if you want every technical module to be a little more... Again, we're going to get to that in the last 2 weeks, because we're going to be looking at specific exercises in the last 2 weeks and how to put them together. But for now, what I would say is, each module is also a mini journey. It's a journey unto itself. So what is the specific fear or limiting belief or obstacle that your hero needs to overcome for each specific module, and work that little bit of inner work into each of those modules?
Okay. I forgot to mention, Joanna, that it's going to be 3 months long training with the coaching every month and the new module every week. Coaching every week, sorry, and new module every week.
Yeah,
so
that should be fine.
Months.
Yeah, that should be fine. So think of each one of those modules as a mini journey, and what's the obstacle that needs to be overcome, and see where that takes you. And check in the Facebook group. Let me know, okay?
Okay, and you will share with us ideas for the exercises as well, right, later on?
In the last two modules, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, Joanna.
Okay, let's see who's next. Jamie, and thank you, everyone, who's hanging on the line. I'm going to get all the hands that are raised. Jamie.
Hey, Joanna. I'm here with Tosh. We're doing it together because I happen to be in the same place at the same time. She just went out of the room, though. She's recovering from foot surgery, so we're doing that as well. Anyway, my question was this. Would you briefly say the difference between curriculum and program design? You made that distinction earlier and said this isn't a course on program design. It's about curriculum. So what is the distinction that you're making there?
So, and you'll get some of that in Into the Depths, you know, more of the program design, and you'll get it in here too, because I can't help myself a lot of the time. Your curriculum are the actual ideas that get put into the curriculum, the step-by-step, the journey. The program design is like, what are the ways that my client needs to be supported to be able to receive and integrate the ideas that I'm sharing in the, you know, in the curriculum best? So, for example, if we just look at Curriculum Lab, part of the program design isn't just these 90-minute training calls, but part of it is the get it done sessions. That's because I know for a lot of my ideal clients, having that time carved out where there's a container where you can ask questions as you're doing the work in real time, that's really helpful for them. And the Facebook group is a component, again, not just because it's trendy to have Facebook groups in programs, because I know for my ideal client, they want to connect with community sometimes. They may have questions for me in between sessions. It's a trope that helps the I'm teaching the information in these training calls. It helps you integrate the information more. Does that make
sense?
So
would it be a fair thing to say that the more deep, like if you know, my course is going to be around, my offering is going to be around really trying to help people personally transform their in the journey towards creating a new society that's more life supporting from this paradigm. So it's within the climate change work, but it's really going to be very experiential personal transformation.
Yep.
So the closer to that, it seems to me that the two ideas of curriculum and program development kind of merge.
Yes.
It seems like
the one supports the other. So, like I heard you say experiential a couple of times, you're going to, you know, because of that, you may want, and this goes back to vehicle too, like you may want some in-person time maybe because it's easier to do experiential in person, but it's not impossible to do it online. But if you're going to do it online, you know, how does your person learn best experientially? Does it need to be Zoom instead of voice only, right? So that's where they start to merge.
Okay. So just before I go, here's Tosh. She wants to say hi, Joanna.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Tosh.
She doesn't really
hear your voice.
She's an introvert. She didn't really want to say hi. I'm an extrovert, so I made her say hi.
Well, I'm
That's
glad
how
that
it works
you did.
Out. All right.
Great
thanks a lot.
To meet you,
see you.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
All right. Lucia.
Hi. Can you
hi.
Hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good to be with you, finally. I'm so excited to start the journey. So my question is about my program will be for couples. I want to teach them the basic understanding of the tantric exercises, and I still want to have room for coaching mm-hmm. in the sessions. Mm-hmm. And because people need...
They're going to have stuff come up, for sure.
Okay. What did you say?
I said they're going to have stuff come up for sure. You're going to want space for coaching.
Exactly. So, and people need different amount of times to, when I go with to a communication exercise, for example, some people, they're really quick. Some people need more time to drop into their bodies. And so I cannot say this exercise will take us 20 minutes. So the rest of the time is for coaching. How do I plan these things?
Is it in person or online?
It's online one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
It's
and
2 hours.
And how long are the classes?
2 hours.
2 hours. I am going to say, and you can tweak this a little bit based on what you know about your ideal client, I'm going to say you should prepare 70, no more than 70-ish minutes. If you've got 120 minutes each time,
mm-hmm.
I would prepare 70 minutes worth of curriculum and leave 50 minutes open for coaching, processing, and questions, not at the end, but, you know, intermittent through the exercises. Or some time in the beginning for check-in and maybe some sharing, and then in the end. Now, again, you tweak. If you think it's more like 30 minutes, that's fine. But I would, you know, that's what I do. Cause, and you'll see when you're in person with me, we have a lot of curriculum, but there's a lot of coaching on the spot that happens and healing and all of that. I usually plan on 2/3 of the time being taken up. You know, it's a situation like that. 2/3 of the time are actually the curriculum, and another about 1/3 is, or it could be a little less than 1/3, is more the coaching, the discussion, the answering questions, that kind of thing.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, that's helpful. And another question that was coming up is that I was thinking of doing a 10-week program, but I was thinking of splitting it up into two levels, five sessions. To have, like, to give the people a chance to choose if they're, like, the beginners, if they want to do, like, the beginners and intermediate, or if they have already some knowledge and want to start with level 2, or they want to take the whole pack. What do you think about that?
What you would be teaching in level 1, is it useful? Like, you know, a few minutes ago I was sharing with someone about that Montessori idea, that every time you come to the information, you go deeper with it. For the level 2 people, is there value in going back to the basics?
For sure, yeah.
Then I would do it as 1. It will just be better for your business model. It will be easier to fill.
But even though maybe people, I don't know, want to have like a more an intro to the things, then they could just choose level one. And if they want to have the full thing.
So you could do it that way, but I wouldn't do you either choose level the first five or the second five. If you want to have two choices, it's either the whole thing or the first five.
Yeah, that was actually the idea. Okay,
oh,
perfect.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You can do it that way.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Bye.
You're welcome. All right, let's see who else. I got one last hand raised here, 0657.
Yeah, that's me. This is Anne.
Hi.
First of all, I'm really excited to have this Q&A time, and I think every question that I had initially was asked in some form by somebody else, which has given me new questions, which is great. So I am one of the people that you were talking about who is soaking this in for when things are more clear later. I don't have a curriculum that I'm starting with. But what I'm noticing is coming up for me, and thanks for the Montessori reference, by the way. I had a Montessori kid all through elementary school, and it's totally awesome stuff. So I'm looking at all the different things that I might offer, and as I'm thinking about the people that I want to work with, the kinds of issues that I find interesting to work with, it's been really helpful to hear just that notion of what's stretchy and fresh and, you know, what doesn't feel like, oh, that's just old hat in a way that's dry as opposed to something I love sharing. So what I'm starting to notice in terms of resistance is I'm going into overwhelm. Okay, so as I'm starting to go through these questions, I have so many different directions I could go because I didn't realize before how much each of these steps, each of these things that I could offer can be broken down.
Yeah.
And I'm somebody who's trained in multiple modalities, and I don't necessarily want or need to use all of them, but everything I've done informs the stuff that's trying to integrate into something new now. So what's your best tip for managing that overwhelm right now to get the most out of the course without either getting too spread out or without focusing on something that then is going to maybe not be it?
Yeah. So first thing is that last, be willing to be wrong.
Okay.
Nothing is going to be wrong. Everything will lead you to where you need to be. But if you're focused on it has to be the right thing that I decide to focus on, you're never going to pick the thing. Okay. So that is what I would say is I think the biggest thing is just like pick something and go with it and know that it's going to change. But that's actually the process. It's not a linear process. It's a cyclical process.
Right. And I'm all about process as value, not that you don't want to focus on the goal, but a lot of who I am in the world is helping people recognize the value of attending to the process and not getting overly wrapped up in, I got to get the goal, I got to get the goal. Like, the journey sometimes takes you somewhere you couldn't see before. So, light bulb, of course, that is exactly where I am right now. So,
I love it. It's a chance to practice your own medicine. It's perfect.
It always is, isn't it?
Yeah. Great.
Thanks, Rhonda.
You're welcome. It looks like we have a couple more hands raised. I'm going to keep on going, guys. If you have to get off, I love it that so many people are still hanging on and listening to all this, but I'm going to keep on going. But if you need to go, you can go. Helen.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, Joanna?
I'm good. How are you? It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm calling from Costa Rica and my internet connection is spotty. So if you don't hear me or if I don't hear you, it's because I've been disconnected. So,
hopefully that won't happen.
Yes, hopefully. Okay, great. I have a few questions here. I was taking notes and, one has to do with, you mentioned thought leader and thought leadership, and I'm not sure how you define it. Just so that I can be clear on that and not get stuck on that while you're saying other things.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I don't mean by it.
Okay.
I don't mean by it, which is a way that it's kind of thrown around a lot in the industry, which is like, you know, millions of, I mean, it could be millions of fans that know you for this, that, you know, blah, like all of that. But to me, that's a lot of pressure that I personally don't like. When I say thought leadership, what I mean is your unique way, your unique wisdom, your unique methodology, which of course is going to be based on other things that you've learned, but that's also based on your personal experiences and the solutions that you have that are actually best for your ideal client.
Okay, great. Thank you. So my unique way based on my personal experiences that I can provide or share with my clients. Great. Thank you. Thank you. All right. And then the next question has to do with the different modalities. Would you happen to have like a cheat sheet where like I wanted to do retreat and I also wanted to do continue doing one-on-one coaching. And I'm going to be working right now for this course. I'm going to be doing the one-on-one coaching because I have a new niche that I'm working with on burnout. And so I'm going to focus on that. And then later afterwards, I'll apply the same information to for putting together a retreat. So my question is, do you have a cheat sheet that would explain at least, you know, briefly, like these are the strengths and weaknesses of doing a one-on-one retreat for this type of exercise that we're doing with this course? This is what you should look out for. You need that spaciousness. You don't want to cram all this information on a one, you know, in-person retreat because you want them to be able to process it, you know, that kind of thing. Do you have anything like that?
You know, I don't, but I love that idea. I don't know how quickly I can whip that up, but I'm making a note and I'm gonna work on it. But that being said, as you have questions about that come up, ask me and I'll answer you.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you for that. And then the last question is, you were saying to have the beginning, know where to start, where your hero's going to start and where they're going to end. And so create step-by-step steps to get them to that end, right?
Yeah.
And then be very specific and be very targeted. So I heard you talk to or answer a question to similar question to someone previously, and I didn't get to hear the whole thing because I was disconnected. So my question is, I don't want to overwhelm the person, the client, with all this information, and yet how do I keep it in my marketing? How do I keep the steps simple so that the client will know, the potential client will know, this is a course or this is someone who I would like to work with because she's going to get me there to where I need to be. But then if I were to give her like all the steps in my marketing, I'm going to take you here, I'm going to take you there. You know what I mean?
So that's a little bit more of a marketing question. I'll answer it quickly and I think it will help, but I won't get into all because once you have all of your steps, if it looks like it's too overwhelming for marketing, what you want to do is see which steps fit together and then have a couple of headings for topics, and then you can have some of the bullet points of the finer points within them.
That makes total sense. Yes. Okay, so it could be like 5 modules or 5 steps, and when those, the bullet points are much more detailed.
Exactly. And you don't even need, you don't have to put every single last one in your marketing either. Put the ones that will paint the best picture of the power of the work.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, thank you. Thank
you
so much, Joanna.
You're welcome.
All righty.
Oh, you too. Sorry, I put you back on mute too early. You too, Helen. Let's see. Who is this? 9602.
Hi, Joanna. It's Iris.
Hi, Iris.
Hi. Happy to be here.
I'm happy you're here.
I have a very simple practical question. I heard you mention something about a handout, and I was curious when you think we can expect that so I can plan my work around having that.
It should be there now. If not, it will be imminent within the next hour. So
okay.
Yeah, it should be there. The handout isn't anything that I didn't share on the call today. It really is just those overarching six components that I spoke about, and then the different questions that I mentioned that you want to be thinking about as you lay out your step by step by step. But it should be there. I would guess it would be there now or very soon.
Okay, yeah. It's not there yet, but then I'll see it in the morning.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Carrie Ann. And I think this is our last question. Hi.
Hi, great. Okay, so I had a very powerful resistance response. so I missed some of the call because I had come up with, like, right before the call, I'm like, I came up with these great ideas for what I'm going to include, and I was so excited. And then I started listening to the call, and all of a sudden I my body shut down, and I went to sleep, like, I couldn't fight it out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I missed some of it, so I'm sorry if my question is already answered because of that. I'll re-listen to it, but if that's the case. But I started questioning myself whether I could, with my particular subject, could really take them on a journey. What I'm going to be doing is providing support for people going through infertility treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my basic idea was to, you know, explore the feeling, and this is going to be for both, you know, the male and the female part of the couple. So they mm-hmm. each have their own time to explore their feelings and what sort of support that they need.
Yeah.
So some separately, some together, and then there would also be a group component
uh-huh.
for the females and for the males.
Yeah.
So, but I started to doubt, like,
oh no, what, I think absolutely.
Like a math. Oh, okay.
So let me just make sure I'm understanding. It sounds like some of it is going to be one-on-one work, and then some of it is going to be together in a group. I just want to make sure I'm understanding.
Yeah. So I was going to provide some pre-recorded videos to learn some stress management techniques, and then I was going to provide one-on-one support to each member of the couple and also a session or two so that the couple can discuss how they can support each other or how they can help each other get support outside of the couple.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be a couple of sessions for the females of the couple uh-huh. to discuss their needs. And the males of the couple to discuss.
Got it. But there's no time where couples are going to be together with other
yes.
couples.
No, right.
Okay, that was the part I wasn't clear on. Yeah, so here's the thing. With one-on-one work, you have a lot more leeway than with group mm-hmm. work. With group work, you know, there has to be a very set, we're going to do this first, and then we're going to do the second and the third, right? Because it's, you know, that's how you're laying it out. With one-on-one work, there's a little more flexibility there because you can meet the exact personal needs of the one-on-one client. You still want to have a journey and a curriculum, but you may end up going a little bit out of order in it depending on what they need, or you may end up spending two sessions on one step of the journey instead of just one session and a little less time on another. So I'm just sharing that with you to say you've got a lot of flexibility. And then as you lay out the journey, I already hear that you have some of your steps laid out. So you know that one of the steps is learn how to communicate with your partner around your needs. You know that one of the steps is get more clear on what outside support you need.
I'm just going to mute myself for a second because my little one's screaming.
So did you hear, well, before you mute yourself, tell me if you heard what I just said. Are you there? So, okay, you're muted. So I'll just say, you know, I already heard that you have two steps of your journey. One is about getting clear on what kind of outside support you need. One is about being able to communicate with your partner what you need from them. what I would do is I would take a look at all of the, again, the starting point and the ending point of that hero in